Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Microphone should be working.
Oh, sorry. It's my first time. I'm a beginner. And the only reason I'm doing this is because I'm obsessed with COVID-19, coronavirus, and I drive my husband crazy, and he said I was maximizing the crazy. But now he realizes I'm not.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. So anyway, listen, I want to take an opportunity at my wife, by the way, this is my lovely wife, the better half, hi. Mona. Many of you have met her, but we wanted to kind of just have a conversation. We're not experts in COVID-19. We're not infectious disease doctors. My wife is a physician, psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. I am a dentist, and my wife is more of an expert than me, not because she's a physician, but she has been trained by CNN, MSNBC, Fox
Shut
News.
Up. And the physician mom group.
And the physician.
Which is very strong.
And the doctor's purse club.
It's not even funny. It's not funny. Actually, we have a very strong group online, like you guys do with your dental.
No, I know that.
And actually, it's a lot of different doctors, infectious disease, cardiologists, intensivists, multiple different doctors of all types, psychiatrists. And we're all just talking. And, I mean, it is pretty scary. I think we're just all, this is the first time we've ever experienced anything like this. I've grown up in a doctor household, and, I mean, I can't remember ever dealing with this. So this is completely new and we don't know what we're doing. And what makes me anxious is, you know, a lot of the physicians are talking, but I don't see the dentist talking. So I keep asking my husband, what are you going to do?
Well, that's because you're not in our dentist groups. We're talking.
Okay. But I actually am married to a dentist who talks a lot about dentistry and I don't see him, you know, talking about it. So I pushed him to do this today. Everyone who watches anything that T-Bone does knows that I hate being on camera. So this is like death for me. My hair is crazy and I'm sleepy. And
I think it's sexy personally.
No, I haven't slept in 4 days. So I look crazy because.
So anyway, I don't want the fear mongering to continue.
No. It's not fear mongering. I'm just saying that I have been driving him crazy. So I think he did this really just to open up the discussion.
Yeah. So look, at the end of the day, what I would like to start with is, look, we need to be serious about this, okay? At the end of the day, it's not about whose fault this is, politically speaking. It's not about, you know, whether this is from China or whatever it is. Look, at the end of the day, what matters is perception is reality. And there's a real seriousness to the virus itself. And then there's a real seriousness to how it affects all of our businesses.
I agree.
And I definitely want to...
businesses, the people who work for us, the people who come to us as patients. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think being medical professionals, we have a responsibility to be calm and but be honest. And dentistry as well, I feel like you see patients probably even more sometimes than even the...
Certainly family. In more close proximity than most physicians.
And even more often, you know? So,
So you know, I kind of put together some things here. One, we're in new territory. Mm-hmm. Okay, we as a country haven't dealt at this level. We had SARS, we had bird flu, we had things like that. This. But yeah. Definitely this is at a higher level. If I do cough, I don't have coronavirus that I know of. But I did lose my voice last weekend.
It's hard to get tested, so...
All right, non-fear-mongering political comments.
It's not fear-mongering, but we can't get tested. I'm allowed to say
but
that.
But it's very important, I think, to remain calm.
Yes.
And the calm is important from many different aspects. And so let's talk about some things here, okay? There have been a lot of people that have talked about this being somewhat similar to 2008. And one of the challenges that many of us are facing is... that we've never, many of us, many dentists speaking, have never been through a recession. We've been 12 years since the last recession / great recession, whatever we want to call it. And we've never seen that. We've seen really pretty good times. So, and then what I really like in this too is probably more of like 2001 when we had 9/11 happen. And that's because this was somewhat unexpected. This doesn't have necessarily a real fundamental impact on the economy. It's not like we're losing money, and then it was all hidden from us. There weren't factors, economic factors leading up to this. It was all caused by an act. And in 2001, that act was terrorism. Now that act is quote-unquote God through a virus. So, you know, I want to kind of go back to what we saw, what we expected, what all of those things, and talk about a few things along the way here. So let's kind of keep moving along here. So there's a lot of unknown, okay? You know, in fact, just before this this going live, I was on the phone with our investment person talking about where we stand, not freaking out, not saying take the money out, not doing any of that, but just understanding where we stand. Are we being prudent?
I think as a mental health professional, I'm seeing a lot of, so it's really funny, you'll see people are worried about that or they're worried about health, but there's like, you know, it's funny because I'm not even worried about investments. He's worried about investments, like not just investments, but sure. I would say, you know, that's kind of your worry. And my worry is more, you know, people's health. And I don't think there's anything wrong either. But
I think it's
interesting that it's interesting that different people are worried about different things. So there's truth to both.
Absolutely. You know, and so, you know, look, I believe that we have the great, you know, me and Mona in particular have the greatest investment behind us, and that's time. You know, just like in 2008, the market crashed, it was doomsday, and everything came back. And the same thing will happen here. I can't say it's going to come back in a few months, a few years, whatever it's going to be, but we have time as mid-40s, you on the younger side of that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We have time behind us. But so, I think our parents are more worried
nervous.
About, they're more nervous about the effect it has in their 70s.
What's funny is they're more worried about that and not worried about their health.
Yeah, and we're worried about their health.
Their health, exactly.
Right, because...
So, I mean, a lot of things that I've read from the... you know, groups that I'm on and just patients, is that people are just hugging their parents and saying, you know, I might not see you for 2 weeks because I want you to stay safe, you know? But then the parents are like, what are you talking about? You're making a big deal. I mean, we've emailed and I've called my mom and I've tried to say, hey, be safe and don't do this and don't do that. And she's like, you're crazy. And then she's like, the investments, you know, she's focused on investments are going down, you know?
Yeah.
So, to each his own, I guess.
Yeah. You know, and at the end of the day, we do have to worry about, I hate saying elderly, but we have to worry about older people because this virus is more, has a greater effect on them. I don't really want to talk about the virus because I have no earthly idea what I'm talking about.
Well, let's just talk about what we're doing in our offices. Yeah. What is T-Bone doing? What is RDA doing?
Yeah, so...
RDA being Raleigh Dental Arts.
Yeah.
And
so,
Gupta Psychiatry.
I want to back up. If you're interested in learning more about coronavirus, I want to give a shout out to my good friend, Serge Sugar, who's a chief of infectious disease at Holy Name Hospital in the New York City area. They have a wonderful podcast they did recently on an update on coronavirus, and that's on the Recommended Daily Dose podcast. It's also on YouTube. Him and his podcast partner, Dr. Clinton Coleman, do a phenomenal job. It's a good listen, and those are real experts when it comes to infectious diseases. So let's talk about what am I doing and what is our practice doing. So first thing, and I hate to say it this way, but you know, we're upping our cleanliness. And that doesn't mean that we were not clean before, but we're being significantly more strict and more visual about our cleanliness. We are visually showing our patients that we are washing our hands and or sanitizing our hands. We're visibly showing that we're wearing new masks. We're visibly showing that
we're cleaning counters,
you know, cleaning counters, spraying things down, opening up sterile equipment in front of them, those kind of things. So from that perspective, you know, we're just upping that aspect. I don't think, you know, we follow universal precautions, generally speaking. I think we all have a tendency to get lax over time when things, you know, are good and everything's kind of swept under the rug or it's not in the forefront.
It's a wake-up call. So we're all, we're just more alert and doing it. And maybe, hopefully, that sticks. I would like that to stick.
And it will, certainly for a period of time. One thing that we were lucky on is that we were ahead on supplies in our office. I've seen a lot of groups talk about we're running out of masks or gloves. And we were, as soon as we heard about the China part of this, having experience from SARS and bird flu, avian flu, we went ahead and bought multiple cases of masks before they were rationing masks.
And I mean, you should give a shout out to.
I got to give a shout out to Chuck, who's with our distributor, and talking about how he came to us with that.
Forward thinking. It's a team approach. I mean, absolutely. I think everyone.
That's why we have reps. Why we should have reps.
It's really hard to do a podcast with you.
When I keep talking?
Because literally I can't say a word. But it's cool. I mean, that's T-Bone. So
let's keep going.
But I think like even for us, we have reps and I really appreciate them. Sometimes you have to partner with people you don't think you're partnering with. But I would say Chuck was very forward thinking and kind of new to do that. And I would say thank you to him. And, you know, to my reps, too, who, like, you know, are coming in, even though they're risking, you know, they sit in those waiting rooms and they wait for us. And, you know, we should give a shout out to others than just.
Or even your rep that brought in the DHHS sign to, you know, for us and, mm-hmm. you know, said, hey, you should print this and put this out. And
that was me.
Okay. I don't know who brought it up.
Cassie.
Cassie. Yeah. Okay. Or team members that are doing that kind of stuff.
Team members who are going the extra step. Yeah.
So, and then, so another thing that we've implemented that quite frankly is probably something that we should have been doing anyway. We're doing scrubs at the office now where you will come in your normal clothes, change into scrubs at the office, change out of the scrubs at the office, and then have them cleaned at the office. So, we're sticking to that, even though that's technically probably standard.
Probably standard, but I don't think everyone does that. I mean, I've seen people go at lunchtime and they're out with their scrubs. So, you know, so I think we're going to be a little more prudent on that. And I think our employees are really excited about that because it keeps not just our office in a hygienic, it's also for their home life,
yeah,
you know, and absolutely. For their kids and their grandparents and their mothers. So I think they're happy about that.
Yeah. So what about communicating with patients? How have you guys handled that on communicating with patients?
So we have office signs, and we have different signs for different things. You know, I mean, I hate them. They collect over time. You have a sign for this and a sign for that. But I think these signs are important. And just talking about the hygiene again, I mean, we hear it over and over again. Cover your mouth, you know, use the tissue.
Is that why toilet tissue's out?
I was talking about nasal tissue, but maybe use your tissue for that too. I think just having those reminders. Another thing was if someone has a fever, please let us know. We actually limited visitors in the office. I don't know if you guys have done that yet, but for Gupta Psychiatry.
We haven't had that issue in the past, so I try not to bring up things that don't necessarily happen.
Well, we have that issue. Right. So I don't know if everyone else has been in this, but we've been getting notices from all kinds of facilities telling us they're, so I've learned from other facilities what they're recommending. And so one thing was limiting extra people.
Yeah. And I think again, so much of this is about perception. Mm-hmm. Listen, putting up a sign doesn't make you safer, but
It
shows
does, that you're aware.
It makes you, lets people know that you're aware. And that's what I'm talking about. It's
but also
ultimately
like,
letting people know.
And we are so used to shaking people's hands. And, you know, we're Indian, so we do namaste when we see our elder parents or whatever. So we're used to doing namaste. But at work, you know, we're used to shaking hands, hugging. And so that's really kind of hard to get out of that. I don't even do that. I just do Corona time, like, you know, Corona time, and
we should walk around with a bottle of beer.
But no. Yeah, well, yeah, we could, but we do substance use, right. So. But, you know, but Corona time, you know, so.
It's yeah, cool. And I think that's also is we're giving patients a heads up.
And everyone smiles because they know it and they're happy to be acknowledged. And they actually say thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was about to say that. What I've noticed is every time we do that, the patients are kind of like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, and so, again, it puts them at ease about what's been going on. So I've had some people ask, or we've even discussed this.
Questions?
We'll get to those here in a second. We had some people, I don't know if you and I discussed it, but about sending out a mass email to all our patients. And I'm against that personally. So
we didn't send a mass email. What we did is we have a text reminder at the the day or two before your appointment, and we did say if you have fever, cough, or shortness of breath, limiting visitors. So we wrote a text kind of saying, please don't bring visitors. And
that's not a mass email.
It's not a mass email. But I mean, how many mass emails have you gotten?
I've gotten
so many.
But how many of those have you read?
No, and I feel like when you do a mass email, do bullet points. People don't have time to read. Like, I mean, what I've been getting is long emails explaining the
crafted
hygiene
by PR people
and whatnot. And you don't need to tell people that. People have heard that on the news over and over again. But if you can do some bullet points that matter, that's what you know. As you can keep the hygiene the same, but you don't have to repeat that. I think more than anything, I think just doing bullet
just
points.
Just let people know
matters.
You're aware and you're taking precautions.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, that's all I think you need
but
to
I
do.
But I do think, so I've gotten, you know, plastic surgery offices, facial, you mm-hmm. know, I mean, I like those kind of things. And they all are writing these emails saying we're doing extra precautions, we're doing, you know, but all the things we were talking about.
Right.
Which, honestly, just showing them you're doing it is proving
absolutely.
That you're doing it.
Yeah. So that's one thing. So let's go to some questions here. Thomas Larkin mentioned in 2008, the single SKU or big case practice was the most vulnerable. Practice diversification as far as mix of services was a lesson from that. Your thoughts? Well, Thomas, 2008, the big case practice was me. That's why I got hurt in 2008. My practice went down about anywhere between 30% and 40%.
Is this before we took insurance or after we took
insurance? No, this is after we took insurance in 2008. But still, we were very reliant on the big cases. And it led me down the path that I'm on now, which is diversifying what we're doing and providing a wide range of services. And I think...
this is when you were doing the big cosmetic cases?
Yeah.
I'm like, trying to understand.
Yeah, when we were doing a lot of cosmetic cases in 2006, 2007, mm-hmm. early 2008, and it literally just dried up overnight.
Yeah.
And while that wasn't all of my practice,
it was a good portion.
It was the profit part of my practice.
It was the cream.
It was a little bit more than the cream.
But you know, whatever it was,
So so that went away. So
yes. It might happen again.
Yeah.
And we just have to like plan for that. I was talking to you in the car about this. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the practices when it comes to dentistry, how do you think hygiene is going to be? Just regular dentistry mm-hmm. is going to be affected. Not so much even the big practice like hygiene. Do you feel like people are going to come?
Well, I think at the end of the day...
and I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm just wondering.
No, I think there's patients like you, mm-hmm. okay? You're not going to go to any doctor's appointment barring an emergency.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, you don't...
No, I'm not going to go for a well check right now.
Right, exactly. And so there's patients like that, absolutely. So that's going to be there. We're also going to have patients that are going on with their normal life, but circumstances of all of this is going to prevent them from coming in. So that would be like, for example,
schools are closing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're seeing it in our school, and we're going to start seeing it in the public school system.
Public
we've seen it in many states because we consistently watch CNN because of my wife. So I know by state, I don't know anything in the last half an hour because I haven't been watching.
Public schools have been closed.
Because she gets the alerts on the phone, right? So I think, and that's going to affect patients' ability. And then when patients are limiting travel, that's going to affect this. So there's that patient that, so look, at the end of the day, it's going to affect.
It's going to affect
us. It's going to affect
us. We don't know how.
We're going to continue to have patients.
But I have a question. Mm-hmm. When you're under, and you may not know the answer, and this may be maybe someone has the answer, but when you're on lockdown, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean dentists and psychiatrists and everyone's on a lockdown? Because we're medical professionals.
Well, I
don't know if we close.
Well, I think I can't speak. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I would say that our office is an entirely elective profession.
Yeah. But mine is not.
You know, mine is maybe my brother with gunshot wounds and facial maxillofacial surgery. But
these are questions. So, you know, like, I mean, we can't leave people hanging. And you will have emergency cases that you still have to deal with.
And a lot of those emergencies can be done at the emergency room. They can be fed antibiotics, pain medications. Okay. It's like what people do when they get stuff on the weekends.
So are you on call?
You know, look, I'm available for my patients.
Dentists in general?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're available for our patients. I don't know. We'll have to see
what
goes
out,
there,
step
right?
By step,
But there's going to be those patients who are essentially going to ignore everything and want to come in.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're seeing it now. I mean, but today was the first day where I was starting to get people calling and saying.
And that, a lot of that has to do with.
The address, you think?
The address,
yeah.
Good or bad, the overall news coverage, the end. I think more of it has to do with the NBA, NCAA.
That's day-to-day life. I did notice a lot of men woke up when that happened. That was like, woo.
The kids got serious about it.
Yeah, my son was like, oh, it must be real. Yeah, so the NCAA, that's a big one. So another thing, so in the office, I feel like, you know, it's our job, and, you know, you being a dentist, and I'm sure dentists are not just dentists, but they're also small business owners, and we're leaders. And as a psychiatrist and owning my own business, same thing, I'm a leader. And so we are supposed to keep the calm. Today, I probably was not the most calm person in the office, but I think I needed to get it out and make a plan. And I think when you have a plan and the contingency plan or a plan, people feel better, and you yourself.
Even if it's a bad plan.
Even if it's a bad plan.
Yeah.
But you have a plan in place,
and it makes
you.
Plan.
And you communicate the plan, and you get the pieces. And so can you let me know what your plan is, or do you know it yet?
Well, our plan. Well, let's. I don't have a firm plan. Okay.
No, but let's
walk through it. Okay. Our plan is safety first.
Okay.
Okay. So safety first. What does safety first mean? It means that. One, we're going to go above and beyond at the office to protect our patients and ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Ourselves first, by protecting ourselves, by therefore we're protecting the patients. Number two, I'm not forcing anybody to come to work.
No.
If somebody's uncomfortable, they're afraid, whatever it is, no problem.
Yeah.
You're welcome to take the day off. I'm not even worried about the money part of it at this point in time. Okay, so number one, we want to take care of our people.
Yeah.
So that's our plan, you know. And our plan is we will take it day by day, and as things change in our
we don't know,
right? For example, I not only do I have Raleigh Dental Arts, I have 3D dentists.
Right.
So our plan is we have a program this weekend. Mm-hmm. So the dentists are here. We're happy to take care of them. But our plan is that we're going to reevaluate probably in the next day or so, the next 2 to 3 weeks of our programs.
Try to be more virtual.
And try to figure out what we can do. Can we be more virtual? Can we not be more virtual? Depending on the type of program that we're running. So there's a fluidity in what we're doing. But that fluidity is driven by safety first. Not money, not any of those other things coming there. So let's talk on that aspect. Let's talk about team. I think it's important to remind them the importance of how what we do affects our patients. So
what does that mean?
Well,
do you
mean like being clean?
Yeah, of course.
Being precautious,
like
we do outside of work.
Well, and I think that a simple thing is just walking in the room and washing your hands, showing them you're washing your hands.
Right.
Those are things that actually can make a huge difference. Just it communicates that you care.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Suraj is watching us. I just put a shout out for your podcast. Maybe I'll get you on. I know you're super busy with all this stuff right now. But
dentists need you too.
And yes, dentists need you too. I also believe in leading with calm.
Mm-hmm.
I've been known to be pretty hot-headed at the office sometimes, but when things get tight and tough, when things don't go to plan, I move to calm pretty quickly.
I would say normally I do too. Today was not my best day. But normally, yes, I thrive in crisis.
Yeah. And then the other thing is I believe in letting people know we're working on plans.
Yeah.
I'm not democratic in my planning.
No, I'm not either.
Because at the end of the day,
they
don't have a universal view of what's going on, right? So I will be in contact with the pertinent people in the office to have a discussion around it. But ultimately, I'm going to take ownership mm-hmm. and responsibility of that plan. And then I'm always very vague in my responses.
Oh, you are vague.
Well, that's somewhat by purpose, right? I'm not vague as in like making it sound like I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm vague as in I don't talk about pay.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if this lasts for months and months.
No, we can't.
I don't know, right? But if it's a short-term issue, it's not. We're not going to let that be. We're not going to let money get in the way of doing what's right. So that's there. So that's why I'm vague. I've also vague because I'm worried about litigation. I don't want to really say that you can't do this or you can do this because we don't know what's going on. And what I find is crisis tends to bring out the best in some people and the worst in others. So I want to kind of be vague from that perspective. But one area that we have tried to stress upon our team, and it's a very difficult area, is talking to them about travel. We don't want to continue. I don't want to continue into the fear part of this, but I want to discourage our team members from traveling because to elective things right now for the next couple of weeks, certainly to large gatherings.
Oh, definitely.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
I mean, large gatherings, it sounds like most...
Or to cities where they're what I call hotspots. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't encourage anybody to go to New York City. I wouldn't encourage anybody to go to Seattle right now. Mm-hmm. Italy, those, you know, obviously. Yeah. So those things come into play. And that, look, that affects one of my businesses. But, mm-hmm. you know, safety first.
Safety first.
So let's see if we got any more questions. Amy Waltman-Jones said, my biggest concern is our health system being inundated with patients because of people not following guidelines. I think that the NBA, NHL, NCAA, and others are setting good examples by making very difficult and financially devastating decisions in the best interest of our community. It does seem drastic, but I believe it is the right thing to do.
Yeah, and you have to applaud them for that. And even Disney, I mean, just closed both of their resorts, Disneyland and Disney World. And I mean, how many times in our lifetime have we heard that? So these are huge decisions.
Again,
that
go
these
back to 2001.
Right, but these companies have made these decisions, and they are looking out for our interest, and that is actually a beautiful thing. So, I mean, while we complain that there's not enough tests, and we complain all this stuff, people are looking out for each other. I think we're looking out for each other. I know that I've talked to many different people, and they're worried. You know, are we able to be able to feed kids? Are we going to be able to, you know, feed the kids? Are we going to be able to?
I bought a lot of Totino's pizza today.
No, not in our house. I'm talking about, you know, the public schools. That was a big concern.
No, I think.
Right? I mean, that's sad in this day and age. We're not feeding. You
know, well, or that people are dependent upon school for lunch.
I mean, it says something, right? But the fact that we're worried about it and we're trying to do something about it is
absolutely
great.
So let's talk about one thing I want to talk about before I get to the next question, because the next one is very good, is this
don't
is,
sound too good because we're both coughing.
Well, we I don't mean, have fevers I mean, and runny noses.
No, we don't. But I mean, I'm just saying.
And it's trust me, we check our temperature.
Like all day long.
Like 5 minutes, every 5 minutes. See if it's changed. I think it's because I like the gun
we
point at the head. Okay. But so let me talk a little bit about digital readiness. And this is not about looking backward, saying we should have done this, but also about looking forward. Here's a few things. One is we have remote access to our office. So in your situation, medicine EHR is all pretty much cloud-based, mm-hmm. so you have access. But in our business, a vast majority of what we do is server-side business on site. So we have remote access to multiple computers in the office, and about three of us have access to that information. So that's super important. Number two is we have a communication plan with our team members. And for us, we're not using text messaging for this communication. That still occurs. But the majority of our communication and our practice is done by an app called Slack, S-L-A-C-K. It's free and allows us to communicate, keeps a rolling history of that, allows us to have different threads and have different communications on there. So I do like having Slack. And this is not company specific, but it's a company that we're using. We utilize our RevenueWell as well. That's your patient communication system, Smile Reminder, Lighthouse, RevenueWell, Yappy, a bunch of others out there as well. But we use that to be able to communicate with patients, to see, to be able to do this text messaging that you're talking about, to confirm. We can update the messages on what people to expect, and it's another way for people to communicate with us. And our, another aspect of digital readiness.
Question for you, this may be a stupid question, but why doesn't your software do that? Because my software does that.
Yeah, you know, it's a good, it's a very tangent question. Thing? No, I don't want to say political, it's stupid.
Okay, I was just wondering. So you're, because my software does that. Yeah. I don't have to have another company, but you, that's how dentistry works, I guess.
It's dumb. Okay, but we'll it's good for on. People Sorry, like Alex. It's good for Alex.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good for Newdell.
That's true.
So we'll give him credit for that.
So on my side.
One more thing, okay, if you don't mind. And the other thing that's very important, I'm sorry. I mean, I want to make get my thoughts out. Squirrel, you know. And then we moved to VoIP phones on our side.
I don't know what that is.
Voice over IP phones, digital phones. We moved to that maybe a month or two ago, not knowing about the virus. But what that allows us to do is allows us to answer phones from home, allows us to answer phones on a call. You do not, because you're the one that took me off VoIP a few years back when we were having trouble with it. Okay. But so we have that ability to be able to answer phones no matter where we're at in the world, by forwarding numbers, by having it on our phone, and we use RevenueWell phone for that, which is serviced by Jive for that. But I'm not trying to be company specific. All right, now you go ahead.
Oh, I don't know what. So on our side, we're doing telemedicine, which is exciting. I mean, I've done it before when my father was ill in the ICU, and it because we're in a state of emergency, actually most insurance companies are covering it, and so that's really great that we'll be able to. Already, we've seen patients through that today because they called in and said they were nervous about coming in or they had a fever or whatnot. And so this way they'll be able to still get their health. And at some point, if we're not going into the office, we'll be able to do it from home. So in psychiatry, I guess that's a little easier for us. But for you, it's...
Well, I will argue that technology is making teledentistry a little bit easier in the sense, like, let's say I performed a surgery on somebody a couple of days ago. Let's say they have swelling. And
you can look at it. That's true.
We could FaceTime each other. Maybe it's not, quote-unquote, HIPAA-compliant and all those things. But in a pinch or in a bind.
But there are free HIPAA-compliant softwares that you
And what was the ones you're using?
The one I'm using is called VCVSEE. Mm-hmm. And then the other one that you can get is called
Zoom.
Well, Zoom is like for our groups because we do groups, so that we're going to be using Zoom, and that's HIPAA compliant. And then we have Doximity. So there's choices, and I'm learning as we go along, and so I'm kind of nervous and excited about doing it because I wasn't a big believer of it. I like to touch, feel, see, but I mean, since we can't touch, feel, and see, we can see. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we can't really shake hands anymore. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think I'm excited about doing this telehealth and see how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's a learning curve.
You know? And I think the running joke is you're going to love it so much that you probably won't ever go to the office again.
I know. But I don't know.
But you did it a few years ago.
I did. And it was actually, it gave me the ability to work from my dad's ICU room. So, I mean, I was able to see patients and help them from over there. Yeah. And I was gone for 2 months. So
on our end, it allows us to do, look, I think
complications.
Whatnot, you can do consultations, but I don't think that's of utmost importance right now. So that's there. So let's move to so those are the four things I'm doing on a digital readiness because I think it's super important. Remote access, Slack communication, a patient communication system, and voice over IP phones that gives us the ability to set up a virtual office, essentially. Jason Swantek, I hope I'm saying that correctly, says, "Hey, T-Bone." He probably didn't say it that way. I don't know, but
I feel like he did.
Let's say you have an employee who feels they need to self-quarantine, or maybe you feel they need to self-quarantine because of a questionable exposure. Do you continue to pay them during their time out of office?
So this is where T-Bone and I have, I think we kind of think alike, but at the same time, like that length of time is the issue, right? But I, we were talking about that today. We have someone on the Gupta side who is a front office. And actually, you have your front office.
Yes. Well, she ended up getting horse like me.
Right, but we were nervous.
Yeah,
we don't want our front office person coughing or having hoarse voice because, you know, they're the face of your office. So what was your plan there?
Yeah, so I want to back up for a second on this. I think the first thing I would look at is not, before we get to what we would do here, I would say the first thing I do is I'm going to follow the guidelines that, to a certain degree, hospitals are using. Mm-hmm. In other words, is somebody lying to me, like they just don't want to work? Is the first that's the first thing that goes through my head. So have they had?
I'm like the opposite of you. We're like bad cop, good cop.
So I'm making sure.
No, I know.
Do they have signs and symptoms? Were they in a hotspot area? Like were they on a cruise? Were they in Washington State? Were they in New York? Did they just attend a large gathering? Have you know all these things are the first thing that go to my head. And then as soon as we go through and the answer is yes to any of those things, then my immediate thing is safety first. You need to go home.
So in my thoughts, since it's community transmission at this point, I think that if you are have a fever, and, if you have a fever, you're not.
If you have symptoms. If you have
fever, cough, and shortness of breath, I mean, you shouldn't be in the
question. Symptoms. Even I would say.
But this person is being self-quarantined. He's already asking. This person's being has been self-quarantined. They're told to be self-quarantined by a doctor or whatever. What do you do in that case?
So if they're legitimately being self-quarantined.
They've already been self-quarantined.
Sure. So then I would take care of their pay.
I would take care of their pay, too.
My initial reaction is.
I feel like you do the right thing. And they're doing the right thing. As long as you can afford it, let's try to do it. I know that we can't do that for everyone at some point, but I mean, let's try to do it as much as we can. I know that that's what we're going to do.
Right. You know, to within reason, correct?
I mean, obviously, if they're hungover, we're not doing it. But if they're truly self-quarantined, I'm going to take care of my people because they've taken care of us.
Absolutely. Know? And so this brings me up to another point that I want to talk about. Look, here's what we're worried about at the end of the day. Here's what I think we're worried about. I think we're worried about people getting paid for not doing the work. Number one, we have to believe that our offices will come back and things will normalize and we'll move forward and we'll make up the time. Number one, this isn't like free time like we never make up. We will make up
the
time.
Like our kids think with school.
Right, like our kids think with school. But we will make up the time, whether that's by working a few hours extra each day until we make it up, or because by working Fridays if you're closed Friday, or by working Saturdays if you're open, if you're closed on Saturdays. We will make up the time. So number one, I want to make sure team members, I would make sure that that's pretty clear, that we will make up the time. The number two thing I was going to mention that we did probably about 10 years ago, I moved to a delayed payment, a payroll schedule. So in other words, my team gets paid about a week and a half after the payroll cycle ends. And one of the reasons for doing that is in the event that somebody was, we were out 2 weeks and then they said, oh, I'm going to quit now. And then they get their payroll. We are pretty much on the hook for 2 weeks. So my thought on that is, hey, I got a week and a half buffer where somebody I can get back some part of my money. So I would encourage offices that are on a payroll system to move to a delayed payroll system where you're paying maybe a week and a half. So for us, we pay twice a month, 24 times a year, 1st through the 15th, 16th through the last day of the month, and everybody gets paid about on the 7th. On the 22nd for the 1st to the 15th, and on the 7th for the 16th to the 30th, to the end of the month. And then we have to have our payroll in 2 days beforehand. So there's that 5 or 6 day cushion where, you know, if somebody was to be nefarious, that we would have some recourse.
But I can see that. I wouldn't put that pressure on every dentist or every small business owner because it is a lot.
To pay the team?
To be able to pay people. I mean, that might be something we're doing now, but who knows, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't feel like, you know, everyone might do that, and there's no right and wrong answer. But
it's gray. It's not black and white.
It's so gray.
But how long has the team member been there? Are they a good team member?
I don't even think it's that. I think when it comes to our teams, I think, you know, I'm really about not having to micromanage people. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like you've taken that time off and because for good reason. And if you're able to do something from home, like if you're self-quarantined because you've been in contact, I mean, there's ways to work from home too, right?
So even in the, in the dental business.
Yeah, I mean, like you could do recalls.
You could do treatment acceptance.
There's a lot of
things. That's going to be less effective during this time period to
but
be.
But there are things that can be done, right? Or betterment of yourself, learning different, you know, things.
Programs like online training, different things like that.
So there's things to make this useful.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Yeah. So, you know, and here's the truth. Most offices are still calm, still business as usual, but we don't know what's coming.
Right. And I think today's a good indicator. On our side, we had a lot of no-shows and we had a lot of calls of people who were nervous or emails. I heard on your side, it was kind of similar. People started to cancel. Yeah. So you're starting to see it, weren't affected 2 days ago, well, but now we are.
Look, I think it all goes with the school system.
Of course.
So as the school system, I mean, like on the weather.
Snow,
When it comes to weather, we follow the school system. We're not going to follow the school system and close for a month. Yeah. But, we know that things go with the school system. Chase Wade asks, is there anything specific we can do on the supply side of the profession to be helpful to all of you? And Chase is, I believe he's the owner or part owner of Exacta Dental Products out of Michigan. Yeah. Chase is a early supporter of the townie meeting, so I want to always go back to those times. So I think right now, mainly the supply issues.
Can you tell me what kind of products he has, just so I understand?
I don't know what all Exacta does now, but at the time they were making impression trays, impression material, temporary material, composites, goop and goo, goop and goo products. But really, I think right now it's about gloves and masks.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go back to.
So they have suppliers that can help with that, that's really
good. Right. And not gouging people and stuff like that.
Antibacterial.
You know. Antiviral. Oh, we need the all that stuff.
The what's it called?
Sanitizer. So, you know, I think it goes back to gouging, and I think it also goes back to, I think there's an important lesson here.
Do you feel like the dental profession gets gouged at this time?
It can be, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, like the
not so much the dentist. I'm talking about all the supplies.
I don't know. I don't know what how it works.
Are gloves more expensive right now?
I would imagine.
I don't know.
I mean, I would imagine that you can't get them.
Well, we can't get them. Yeah.
You know, so that's there.
And you can't do your work without them. So that's the thing, right?
Jerry Newman asked, "Are you pre-screening your patient with thermometers before you see them?"
I haven't.
We just simply asking. Yeah, if they have symptoms, please let us know.
I know that my mother works in nursing homes, and when you walk in, they check your temperature. So, I mean...
Well, nursing homes, you're talking about people that are highly
susceptible. Yeah, but in our office, we haven't done that. I don't know if I'm really going to do that. I think probably just have the thermometer just in case, but...
Yeah.
I like the gun thermometer. What's it called? The temple.
The one I bought?
Yeah, I like that one.
It's $80.
I know it's really good, though. We should all get that one. $80.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to go on a tangent. Yeah. You remember what I remember the most about our wedding?
What?
Before our wedding?
What?
Was when we went to register and the lady gave me that gun.
Oh, my God. He registered for crap that we did not need.
I registered for Godiva chocolates. Because I just wanted to gun things.
Stupid.
It was silly. Lavanya Chithan asks, is it advised to email patients about this, saying it's okay to come if they're okay or what?
I think if you feel comfortable doing that, I think that's a good idea to say that we're still open, you know, because I think the other thing is people might be confused. I mean, we're confused as to what to do, but maybe until you, if business is as usual for you, yeah, I think it'd be great to say, you know, we're still here, we can still help you, but maybe, you know, inform them if you have a fever.
You know, I think any messages you send to patients should be patient first.
Yeah.
I'm not a big believer in mass emails. About things, I like to answer just good questions.
Say every little detail. I think you can say we're open.
Hey, we're open. We're here for you if you have a dental emergency. Yes. We have taken extra precautions. Again, back to your point of bullet points. Keep it simple. Keep it focused. Yeah. And don't have harm in it. And at the end of the day, I don't think you need to email all your patients. I would email maybe your patients for the next couple of 3 weeks and just that kind of stuff. But just whatever it is. I think certainly that's okay. I'm just not a big fan of emailing everybody. Alex says, hey.
Hi.
He said, hey, Dr. A. But he said, doctors, hey. He should say G. You know what drives me crazy?
What? Is when they call you Dr. Gupta? I love that so much. So if you really want to make T-Bone frustrated, call him Dr. Gupta. It is phenomenal. His smile is brilliant.
All right. Why don't we go to you here for a second?
Oh.
So let's talk.
Let's see if I get a word out.
Yeah. No.
No, I'm kidding. Okay.
Let's talk about the mental stress of all of this from a couple of aspects. One, the fear, what that does to people, the anxiety that comes from that, and the losing sleep at night, whether it's money-based or whether it's just end of the world. Maybe you have a parent that's sick. Maybe you yourself are sick. Talk to us about the mental health side of things.
So I think already, people live pretty stressful lives, and then something like this comes into your life, and you start worrying, you know, about your families, or you worry about your kids, or what are we going to do if the kids stay home? And so I think that fear is real. And I think to acknowledge it and say, you know what, it's okay. You're supposed to be a little anxious right now. In our office, we have people coming in and they're asking me simple questions like, you know, I have a flight tomorrow to go to a bar mitzvah and you know, this is an 80-year-old. Now it's just reassuring people, you know, reassuring our teams, reassuring the patients. Like, you know what, at 80 years old, I don't know if you should go on an airplane, you know, but mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like common sense, but it's not common sense, you know, just because it's on the news and it's everywhere doesn't mean it's, and people's fears are real, and to validate them. And I think a lot of people are minimizing them a little bit. And, you know, you should validate people and kind of say, I understand you're nervous. And even our teams.
That's empathy, correct?
We are truly their leaders. We're their leaders. If we are anxious, they are anxious. If we are irritable, guess what?
They must be a lot of anxious, irritable people at your site today.
They really were. Actually, you can feel it in the air. So if you can be calm and you can stay put together somewhat, you really can make a difference for the people in your lives, right? So, but it's hard, and you have to, and I think exercising. If the gym may not be the place, go on a walk. Like, you know,
like we did tonight.
We went on a walk tonight. I think that really helped. You know, and
I'm glad it could be a good influence to you.
Such a good influence. But going on a walk or doing yoga or meditation, these are great tools to do. I mean, of course, people use medication. And they use, like, you know, other things that they probably shouldn't do. But I think exercise, meditation, yoga, these are all great things that you can do. There's a great app on your phone you can get called Calm, that can help you with sleep if you're having insomnia. So there's a lot of different things you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. So medication, seeing a health professional, doing telemedicine with a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I can give you a good psychiatrist.
No, not you.
I'm just kidding. What is that supposed to mean?
I don't need that shit.
Do you want, you can just beam up or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
upload
absolutely.
The app.
All right. Mm-hmm. Alex says I'm being sensitive.
Insensitive.
He said sensitive.
Oh, that's nice.
All right, so let's move on. We've got a couple more things going on here. One, we talked about dealing with pay, safety first.
Yeah.
We will prepay team members if that comes up. Some of the people that I've seen really more active online have been the new offices, people that are in the middle of a startup or about to start up. Here's what I'll tell people is believe in yourself and believe in this great country and world that we live in. We have been through ups and downs. We will find a way. We will support each other. It may mean that, you know, things aren't as cush or as smooth as we want it to be in the beginning, but things will get better and things will be fine in the end. Just don't do stupid things.
Honestly, I mean, no matter what, I do feel like we're lucky to live in this country.
Absolutely. You know?
And maybe it's because we're immigrant children and my husband is still an Indian citizen. But in general, I feel like we are very fortunate to live here. Whether, you know, the news makes us feel like we're all destitute and we're going to, you know, that's it's over. It's not really like that. And we know that. We're very fortunate.
90% of this country is business as usual.
You think so?
Until yesterday, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we're all going to be affected, and I do think it's scary, but we will be okay, and we all just need to partner together.
Yeah, I think we lift each other up, but then we got to help each other. So for those that are just starting up, mm-hmm. you know, be prudent.
Talk to each other.
Believe in yourself.
Also talk to each other.
Believe in our country.
Believe in our country.
And adjust your business model if necessary.
And call T-Bone. Call a friend. No, I'm not joking. Look, today I went to an office. I spoke at an office. I sometimes go to different offices. And when I was there, I was speaking to a psychiatrist. And you know what I said? I said, thank you. I needed another psychiatrist to talk to.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's simple things like that. Just call up your friends. Call up T-Bone. Text him. Believe me, he loves talking about this. But, you know. Anyone but me.
I like talking to anybody but you.
Narcos. If he's watching Narcos, don't call.
I'm done with it.
But anyways, no, I really do believe, like, call up someone. A mentor in your life, a friend, and just vent. You know what I mean? And they may give you an idea you weren't thinking of, right?
Holly Bryant was asking, why does T-Bone sound like a girl right now?
He's just so sexy.
I lost my voice. Yeah. The other one is dental spending. I've had a lot of people.
Control it right now.
Well, a lot of people, because I'm big in the digital world mm-hmm. or big into digital technologies, I've had a lot of people say, do I cut that? Do I not do that? And look, what I always say is.
Do you cut what?
Like, do you cut, like,
do you let's. Buy anymore?
Or do you cancel your order or whatever it may be? And my answer.
Oh, you mean like the machines that you
the machines,
get.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Sorry.
Or anything.
You've
right?
been a non dentist.
Right.
I'm so helpful.
Uh-huh. But. The machines and stuff.
What do you think?
Well,
you might want to put on hold.
Well, I'm not a big believer in any of that stuff.
No?
Well, here's how I look at it: is I'm not saying that you should go out and be crazy. Okay, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying be prudent, believe in yourself. You made these decisions based on good, fundamental, sound judgment, and that this is a blip. Now, this may be a 2-week blip, it may be a 2-month blip, it may be a 6 to 9 month blip. It's a blip. And in the big picture of things, it is a blip. And if you are really worried about it being an extended blip, have a conversation with your salesperson or your bank and talk about deferred interest payments or deferred payments to get past this.
What about insurances? Do they cover any of your expenses?
That's a great question. That was a common question. So there is such a thing, and again, I'm not an insurance salesman or insurance expert.
No, but I just want to know.
But there is such a thing as overhead insurance and business interruption insurance. And almost 99% of those policies have an exclusion for acts of God. So, and a virus is considered an act of God. So,
but I still would check with your insurance.
Absolutely. I called our insurance agent.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he's looking into it to make sure our specifics of our policy. But typically, viruses are not covered. Pandemics, epidemics, stuff like
knock
that.
Knock on wood, maybe this one is.
Yeah, I doubt it.
But anyways, look into your policy. Yeah. Right? Talk to your insurance.
So, you know, I the biggest mistake I think I made in 2008 is I immediately cut all my marketing spending. And I think looking back, I could have done that a little bit differently. Also, in early 2009, when the things weren't recovered, but we had got to a stabilization phase, in other words, the market stopped getting out of free fall, all of that stuff, I made an investment in 3D imaging in Conebeam. Late 2008 is when we bought that. Believe in yourself. Technology is a driver of diversification of procedures. So I think that's super important. is, and as we talked about, being a one-hit practice is not good. Being a in these type of times, being a practice built just on dental implants is not good. Being built on just cosmetic cases is not ideal. You know, having a lot of these procedures is super important. So
what about, can I ask you one more thing?
You ask me as much as you want. You're my boss.
Yeah, that's the truth. What if you're a dentist and you don't take insurance, and during this time people, would that be something you might consider?
Well, I would say not right away. Okay. I would want to see how this all plays out.
Okay.
So I'm speaking from our...
I mean, obviously, if it's just 2 weeks, then we're good.
If it's a few months,
it's fine.
If it's two, three, four, five, 6 months,
yeah.
Business, I just power through it.
Okay. Yeah.
I power through it. If this leads into an economic recession, then all cards on the... Then you have to start rethinking your business model if that's what it comes up to. So last thing I want to talk about is what can we learn and what can we apply for the future so that we can do this. And I this is so important to me because 2008 hit me in the face, and that is talking about a savings plan. In 2008, when the economy crashed, then we had just bought a building, just bought a house. I was cash poor. Whatever money I had saved the first 10 years, 8 years, 8 or 9 years of my practice, I had moved into all of the house and all of that stuff, and we just had no retire. We had no retirement whatsoever at that point, or very minimal, like, you know, nothing essentially.
I mean, most 30-year-olds don't have much, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So 30, 31, 32.
You know, I'm still hard on myself.
You are hard on yourself.
But what I've learned from that event was to have a savings plan. And what I mean by that, in fact, we just released a podcast episode on it a few weeks ago. That's the third time I've released that one, is talking about basically every month saving money that you put aside for rainy day fund, for retirement, for whatever things. And I believe, and we have in our house, we have this, I believe in having a minimum of 3 to 6 months of business expenses and personal expenses saved.
Talking about payroll.
I'm talking about whatever it costs to run your business, that you could run it 3 to 6 months without, I mean, I know you're going to worry, but without having to be like, oh crap.
Yeah.
You know, or whether that's a line of credit. I still believe you should have the cash money available.
And you may want to use a line of credit. Your dad does.
Right. As long as you have the cash money, I don't want to dip into my cash money.
No, but if the...
I don't want to dip into my retirement if I don't have to.
No, but if your interest rates are good.
Right, interest rates are good. Decision. And at the end of the day, if you go bankrupt, they're not going to take your retirement money.
Alex says 6 months.
Yeah, six months.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And we have that on our business side. We have that on a personal side. And then every month...
That way you feel comfortable. So, like, you know, right now, I mean, we might be spending it, but then the goal would be to replenish it.
Right? And that's the ups and downs of the business.
And I think we feel more confident because we have it.
And I call it financial flexibility. Yeah. It allows you to make good decisions.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to be reactive in all of this. I'm not going to make rash decisions because we have saved money. And some people, I know that people aren't in that position to do that, but it's a lesson for the future. The other lesson is supplies.
Yeah.
You know, buy stuff. You know, I look at it this way. Anything that doesn't have a true expiration date on it, buy a month or two supply of that, because we just don't know. Masks, gloves, those things don't go out. You are going to use them. So go ahead and buy a month or two and continue to have that, you know, continue to have enough of that so that if something like this does come up, and our world will have more of this stuff moving forward. This is not a one and done type of situation. Mm-hmm. We'll be more prepared down the road.
I think we learn from all of our crises, I guess.
Melinda says, you sound like you are sick. I'm not sick. I've lost my voice.
I mean, you can be sick with a cold, right? So...
That is another topic. You experienced this at the line in Chipotle. Abby had a cough.
Oh, yeah.
And people looked at him,
and it was kind of scary. You know what I mean? People are looking at you a little different when you cough. And I mean, I had an employee today. He was coughing quite loud, and there was a lot of people, and it was like we needed to have him leave. And, well, he needed to get in a medical eval. But, you know, I mean, in the end, he ended up having bronchitis, but... You know, I mean, it's scary, right? Like, everyone is looking at everything, so.
So with me, we precautiously took a Monday off for me.
He could have, should have taken probably Tuesday off.
But we were evaluating symptoms.
Yeah, but you weren't having. He did not have a fever or whatnot. He's been using a mask the whole time.
Yeah, and then we pre-tell patients up front. Dr. A lost his voice. He is hoarse. He is not running a fever. He does not have any symptoms or flu-like symptoms. So that way, patients don't have it in the back of their mind that, wow,
you're
this
not
guy's.
To hide it.
I'm not trying. I'm upfront about it.
What did the patient say?
No problem. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
None of them.
I think people realize this is a time of year that people have simple colds.
And it's allergy time. Yeah. You know, where our weather is changing and allergy seasons come early. Alex Newdell, 6 months and a good sleep appliance will let you sleep at night.
Yes. Well,
Mona, thank you for making me do this.
Okay.
It was awesome. Yeah. Thanks for being on. I apologize if I talk the most.
Oh, no. That's good. I like to be quiet.
Anything else from your end?
No, I'm good. Yeah. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
Everybody, thank you guys very much. We'll see you around.